Début du dialogue 9.
In today's programme, Jack Goodman, an insurance specialist, is going to tell us about the fraud industry. Not the big corporate scandals, but the fact that fraud is widespread. Mr. Goodman, could you perhaps start by giving us a few recent examples?
Yes, of course. Here's a straightforward one. A doctor has just been sentenced to prison for defrauding the National Health Service of £150,000. In his defence, he argued that he used the money to help pay for his children's education. What's interesting is that the fraudster was identified and punished fairly easily.
Isn't that usually so?
Not necessarily. A recent collision between two vehicles led to a claim being put in by the driver of the damaged car. The elderly lady driver of the other car readily admitted that she'd been responsible. But it turned out that this so-called accident had in fact been engineered by a gang as a means of illegally getting their hands on the compensation money. The gang had developed a well-oiled technique. They caused accidents and ensured false witnesses were on hand to make the other person admit liability if necessary. They then claimed damages to their car and for injuries to fictitious passengers and pocketed the money paid out by the insurance company. One gang caused some 400 accidents in a year before being caught.
Your first example sounds like a traditional offence, although the fact that a doctor and not an ordinary citizen was involved makes it more serious. Could you tell us more about the new types of fraud in general?
First, I'd say that it's fairly easy to commit fraud in the workplace. If an employee is bored or has a grudge against his employer or has debt problems or simply wants more money to live it up, it's easy to steal supplies or equipment, but it's also easy to fiddle the accounts. Employees often have access to knowledge and technology that enable them to work the system to their own advantage. For example, one man stole about £250,000 by issuing and signing off spurious invoices and then paying them directly into his personal savings account.
Surely the employer must have been pretty lax with regard to accountability and security.
Probably yes, but when vast sums of money are going through the system, an occasional small discrepancy can easily be overlooked. And only about half of the UK's top companies have set up extra anti-fraud measures. Furthermore, if an individual case is discovered, firms tend to deal with the problem internally, even though they could take the matter to the police.
So what's the usual police reaction to fraud cases that are brought to their notice?
Sometimes the police are unable to combat fraud from lack of evidence. Then they may be unwilling to take action if the offence seems to be a minor one.
But surely the really serious cases get taken to court and lead to prison sentences and the stolen money being repaid?
That's the rather discouraging part. Only about one-third of fraud cases are taken to court, and only a fraction of those lead to prison sentences. And very often the money which was stolen is already hidden away in a tax haven or elsewhere and simply can't be recovered.
Well, what is the government doing to improve the situation? I remember legislation being passed in 2002 to give priority to recapturing the proceeds of a crime and to give the police wider powers.
That's right, but the use of new powers remains patchy, according to the police themselves. Also, fraud is one major crime for which the government doesn't set targets, so the police lack funds.
You work in the private sector, but is it the main area of fraud?
According to recent statistics, roughly £15 billion was stolen last year, with about one-third from the private sector and two-thirds from the public sector.
Fin du dialogue 9.